Hi, thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This is your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Today, let's continue taking a look at the life of Gideon. I'll read today from chapter 6 in the book of Judges, and I'll read from verse 25. That night, the Lord said to Gideon, "Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one that is 7 years old. Pull down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole standing beside it. Then build an altar to the Lord your God here on the hilltop sanctuary, laying the stones carefully. Sacrifice the bull as a burnt offering on the altar, using as fuel the wood from the Asherah pole you cut down." So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord had commanded. But he did it at night, because he was afraid of the other members of his father's household and the people of the town. Early the next morning, as the people of the town began to stir, someone discovered that the altar of Baal had been broken down and that the Asherah pole beside it had been cut down. In their place, a new altar had been built, and on it were the remains of the bull that had been sacrificed. The people said to each other, "Who did this?" And after asking around and making a careful search, they learned that it was Gideon, the son of Joash. "Bring out your son," the men of the town demanded of Joash. "He must die for destroying the altar of Baal and for cutting down the Asherah pole." But Joash shouted to the mob that confronted him, "Why are you defending Baal? Will you argue his case? Whoever pleads his case will be put to death by morning. If Baal is truly God, let him defend himself and destroy the one who broke down this altar." From then on, Gideon was called Jerubbaal, which means "let Baal defend himself," because he broke down Baal's altar. Previously, we gave thought to Gideon and his sense of inadequacy after being called of God to defeat the Midianites and rescue the Israelite people. Gideon needed some assurances, but God confirmed to this man that he was going to work mightily through him. The striking thing we learn in this passage is that the priority for God is the elimination of all idols. If God is going to do a work, if God is going to actually deliver people out of bondage, then first the idols will need to be destroyed. As we study the Old Testament in particular, the issue of idol worship comes up frequently. The reason for that is that it is a frequent problem for all people, including God's people. If there's one thing that is made clear in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, it's that God will not tolerate idol worship and calls for extreme measures in eliminating the worship of idols in our own hearts. Well, the first thing God did after calling Gideon to service was to instruct Gideon to tear down the altar of the pagan god Baal. This was a very bold act, and it would be a test of Gideon's faith, and it would be a test of his commitment to the care of the God who called him to this mighty work as judge. The Canaanite religion was mixed with politics. It was very political. So an attack on a god of the Canaanites was seen as an attack on the local government who supported that god and even encouraged the worship of that god. If Gideon was caught in this countercultural act, he would face serious consequences. He would be seen as attacking the very power center of the Canaanite culture. Gideon took a great risk by following God's higher law, which specifically prohibits the worship of idols. Sure enough, after the people learned what Gideon had done, they wanted to kill him. And many of those people were fellow Israelites, which shows just how immoral God's people had become. And here's a lesson for us today. When we begin on the journey of accomplishing something for God, we can expect some opposition. Perhaps opposition even from those we thought would be with us. Even when it is something as blatant as idol worship, the worship of Baal, we can expect opposition. Especially if what we're called to do threatens power structures, old alliances, long-time comforts, social structures, preferred attitudes in the surrounding culture. Oh yes, we can expect opposition. My friend, you may have been asked by God to accomplish something big for the sake of His name in your own family. It may be that God is calling you to act mightily on His behalf in your profession or occupation. You may have been called to reorder the priorities in your church or in your school or on your sports team. Whatever the arena, wherever the place God is calling you to act on His behalf, you can expect opposition. Well, Gideon did what God commanded. He destroyed the altar to Baal, and he tore down the Asherah pole, which was next to that altar. Then he built an altar for the worship of the one true God. And sure enough, the surrounding peoples formed an alliance that came to attack Gideon. Friends, the nations of the world will go to extreme lengths to protect the honor of their false gods. Just at the last minute, Gideon asked God for some more assurance that God was actually going to use him to rescue Israel. We can read about that in chapter 6, verses 33 through 40. He used fleece, wool, as a way of receiving confirmation and guidance from the Lord. Gideon asked for two miracles from God, two miracles, even after having seen the miraculous fire consume his offering back in verse 21. Gideon had proof, but he sought more proof. Today, we don't need to use fleece or other tricks to hear from God. We have the Bible. God has given us His inspired word to give us knowledge and to guide us into faithfully serving Him. It's not wrong to want more and more of God's guidance, but it's important that we look in the right place, the Bible. So Gideon tore down the altar to Baal, asked for some additional assurance from God, and was now set to face the foreign armies. Then in chapter 7, the Lord God says a most surprising thing. God said to Gideon, "You have too many warriors with you. If I let all you fight the Midianites, the Israelites, will then boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength." Then the Lord led Gideon through a process of reducing the number of soldiers in his army from 32,000 to 300. What was God up to? God wanted to eliminate any attitudes of self-sufficiency. With such a small army, there could be no doubt that the coming victory would be from God. God will not share the glory of His great name with anyone. With such a small army, no one could take credit for a victory. We too must recognize the danger in battling in our own strength. If we are to be confident in experiencing victory over our really big enemies, then our confidence must be in God. God will work through us for sure, just like He was working through Gideon. But it will be the Lord who is the victor. The beautiful thing is that we get to enjoy the benefits of the victory. Throughout the Bible, we are cautioned about having attitudes of self-sufficiency. And it's a hard lesson to learn. Our experiences in life teaches that we must be self-sufficient. No one else is going to look out for us, right? So we need to get really serious about looking out for our own selves. We need to get serious about our plans to battle in our own strength. The story of Gideon shows that God wants to be our victor. God wants us to be dependent upon Him. In some ways, it's counterintuitive. God wants us to be dependent upon Him right at the point when everything in us and everything around us says victory is dependent upon our own selves. What an encouraging word for today. Friend, please know that God wants to show His power through you. Whatever enemy you may be facing, and that enemy very likely is within your own heart. Whatever enemy you may be facing, God wants us to look to Him for strength, guidance, patience, and victory. That means we have to take a second look at what seems to be best, what seems to be the strongest means to victory. I'm sure Gideon thought that 32,000 men would be a stronger fighting force than 300. But the Lord was going to do something spectacular. My friend, if you are seeking God, if you're seeking to better understand the truth claims of Jesus Christ, if you are seriously desiring to live your life for the sake of God's honor, then you too can expect God to do some spectacular things in your life. Father in heaven, I pray for those listening today that you would help each person to turn to you in a fresh way, to seek your guidance and to seek your power working through them. Help each of us to be cautious about striving in our own self-sufficiency. Help us to live in greater dependence upon you, God. Jesus, I pray that you would give each person listening a large measure of supernatural encouragement today. And I pray this in your powerful name. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Join us again next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.